Church.
This church has honored me in so many ways, but you know, that is the very first time where I got up to pray and the very next thing that was said by the congregation was, "Isn't he beautiful?" I don't think that was aimed at me, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for giving us a sense of humor, Lord, about things. But Lord, the song was very true. You are beautiful. You are our God. You give us wisdom. You give us providence. You give us all the things we need. And Lord, you give us a set of rules, a set of laws that we know right from wrong. Father, you give that to each man, you say in your word. But Lord, how much more beautiful it is that the author of beauty itself, the author of love, the author of mercy, the author of forgiveness, guides us when we need to be guided, shows us what we need to do according to your Spirit and your word. Father, we thank you. And in Jesus' name, I just ask that you will let your word speak for itself. Remove me from it. And Lord, let the Spirit give to each as they need. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I wasn't going to lead off with this illustration because we're going to be talking about Joseph and the dream he received from the Lord that guided him to go into Egypt when Herod was looking for the children. But I just have to make a comment on something. You know, people, they want guidance. They want God to lead them. And you know, if you pray and you read your Bible and you have godly friends, that's a good way. But folks, I saw something yesterday that just made me sick to my stomach. It was called the Holy Spirit Board. It's a group of people that are trying to pass off a Ouija board as a way to communicate with the Holy Spirit. And it was this couple, and they were in front of a Christmas tree, and they had the little planchette, and they were doing it and everything, and they were asking, "Oh, Holy Spirit, let us..." Folks, when you seek for knowledge and wisdom outside the Word of God, you get charlatans, you get fakes, you get evil. Don't mess with stuff like that. Ignore it. Keep away from it. The Holy Spirit is, yes, He's Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. We can pray to Him as we pray to the Father and the Father's Son, but He is not going to come to you through a Ouija board. Okay? But the whole point is, when God wants to guide you, when He wants to lead you, He does speak to you, sometimes through dreams, sometimes through vision, sometimes through the Word. But it never disagrees with what the Word of God says, ever. If it does, it ain't the right spirit you're talking to. But you see, there's another spirit. There's another spirit that we have as human beings, and it's not necessarily a bad spirit, but it's a spirit of this. I know what is right. I need to follow what is right, what is legal, what is lawful. I need to do this. And this is what we're going to talk about with Joseph this morning. So let us turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 11. And we're going to start where the three wise men. I do that on purpose, folks. Don't think I'm being blasphemous. I'm not. They are in the house. And again, we talked a couple of weeks ago about it being a house and not a stable. They had moved on from that. And Jesus, the word for Jesus is like a toddler instead of a baby. We don't know how much time has elapsed. We just know it's a different setting. You know, the Eastern Orthodox, they say it was 10 days after Jesus was born. They call it Epiphany. Well, folks, Jesus was still but an infant. So I think it's a little bit longer than that. Okay? But let's start there. Matthew chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. "And when they were coming to the house," this they being the wise men, "they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Now, that is where the narrative of the wise men, the magi from the east, ends. We do not hear of them again. There's a lot of church legends and a lot of church traditions that deal with them. Folks, that is nothing but conjecture and mythology. They went back home. That's all we know. But the focus shifts in the Gospel of Matthew from Jesus' genealogy and what happened with Herod and the wise men, now we're going to focus on Mary and Joseph. Verse 13. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, let's stop right there for a second. What angel appeared to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist? He named himself. Gabriel. What angel appeared to Mary at the Annunciation? Who is this guy? What does it say, Gabriel? It just says the angel of the Lord. Now, it could have been. But folks, we don't need to add stuff that's not there just because we saw it in a Hallmark movie sometime a long time ago. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Now that's a prophecy dealing with the Messiah, and we'll cover that just before Christmas, the different prophecies. But many of us remember this narrative from the many years that we have celebrated Christmas. We know that the wise men came, but it seems simple enough. You know, wise men find the baby Jesus and are warned to part a different way because of what Herod was planning. Well, God said to Joseph and Mary, especially Joseph, I'm going to send you, get up and go, and then I will bring thee word. So God is going to revisit them at the appropriate time and tell them when it's safe to go back home. Well, I want to take a closer look at Joseph now. Now, Joseph was warned to, quote, get out of Dodge. I know the bulletin says get out of Dodge, but it should be get out of Dodge. We're familiar with that expression. What does that mean? That's a get up, whatever you do, and stop and go somewhere else. Get to safety. Go somewhere where I can take care of you or you can be taken care of. And sometimes we hear those types of messages from God. And it was given to protect the Christ child. Now, what I want to look at concerning this whole issue is twofold. I want to look first at the submissive obedience of Joseph that he exhibited and then took at his willingness to act on his faith. You know, if God sends us a message to suddenly, radically change your life, that's something that's difficult for some of us. How many of you have ever been through an incident where God told you to completely change what you're doing and go somewhere and do something else? I've been through that experience. When I was called to preach, you know, I was a paramedic. I was making pretty decent money for where I was and at the time I was. And all of a sudden, God wanted me to preach in a small church. We're talking small. I think you could fit the whole building on one side of this inside sanctuary. And we had a maximum of about 20 people there every Sunday. I think all new preachers need to go through something like that for the experience. But you see, that was a halfway step because I was doing that. I was still a paramedic. I would work solid from Friday afternoon when I got out of school all the way up until Sunday morning when they let me off so I could come home and go preach. There were a lot of times, and Shiny can tell you this, I would come home so tired I couldn't raise my head, but yet God gave me the strength to preach. One of the signs that you're doing what God wants you to do is Him giving you the strength and the necessities, whatever that may be, to accomplish that which He has called you to do. If He's going to move you, He's going to provide a way for you to move. He provided Joseph a way to move. Joseph had an immense responsibility. No, he was not going to be the mother of the Christ child, obviously. But he was going to be the one that God charged to take care of that child while he was young, and to bring him up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Now, we know that Jesus is a special circumstance. We know even at 12 years old, he knew what he was going to be doing, i.e., when he was found at the temple debating and conversating with the priest and all those at the temple. But yet Jesus, as an infant, still had to be fed. He still had to have his diaper changed. He still had to go through all the things that a regular, normal human being has to go through. And Joseph was given the responsibility to be the earthly caretaker, the earthly stepdad, as it were, of the creator of the universe. So let's not leave Joseph out when we're talking about Mary and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men. He was there. And I would think it probably he was the one that delivered Jesus when Mary went into labor in the stable. Think about that. Joseph had a lot of problems. On top of everything else, he had some kid show up at 3 o'clock in the morning wanting to give a drum solo. Think about that for a second. Now that really didn't happen, folks, okay? That's just a Hollywood thing, but it makes for good humor. He was warned, and we want to look at his obedience. But before we look at that, I want to take a look back in Matthew 1, starting in verse 18 through 25. Because something else went on inside of Joseph, inside his heart and his mind, that had to be settled before he could be obedient in the rest of what God wanted him to do. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Read along with me. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, we do understand that espousal is more than just a fiancé type situation. It's legally binding. It's just like a marriage. It just hasn't been consummated. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, right there we know that he is a good, just, and righteous, God-fearing man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now folks, we're all familiar with that. We've gone over this story countless times. But each time we can find something a little different. I want to break it down. First of all, Joseph discovered that his espoused wife, his fiancée, for lack of a better term, was pregnant. Now folks, this was before the angel of the Lord talked to him. Men, how would you feel? How would you feel this young girl that you love, that you were probably building a house for, you know, that you were preparing to build a family with, and she comes up to you and she tells you, she didn't try to hide it. In fact, you know, as well as I do, at a certain point, you can't hide it. But what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Does he want to spend the rest of his life with somebody who obviously wasn't faithful to him? Now, this was before the Lord spoke to him. Second, Joseph knew what the law of Moses told him to do. And what was that? To take the offending spouse to the gate and stone her. To kill the offending party. Now the law also says that they're supposed to take the guy who did it and stone him too. But he didn't know who the guy was. Brothers and sisters, this was a serious thing Joe was going through. He knew what was right. The law was good and holy, and the law was right. The law showed what needed to be done in certain criminal or moral circumstances, and it was God's law. He was not wrong in thinking this, but he was just and he was loving. So he was thinking about putting her away privately, maybe sending her to some aunt's house to live as a spinster. Who knows? But he didn't want to do it publicly. He loved her enough. He didn't want to shame her. But he would have been right to by the law. You see, that's where the problem comes in, brothers and sisters. Because a lot of times, the law, and I'm not talking about God's law now, I'm talking about law in general, the law will tell us that certain things are right and good. But we know they're not. The law tells me that if I'm over the age of 21, I can smoke a joint, I can go get drunk, I can do all that kind of stuff. Perfectly legal, but is it perfectly right? Not by a long shot. You know, I believe that verse that says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm paraphrasing. I believe that applies to a lot of things. Don't lose control. Don't start, you know, when you lose control, you will fall down that path that the devil has prepared. Because, you know, he knows your weaknesses. He knows what you like. He knew Joseph was a good man. And if I could just convince Joseph to kill Mary, then we wouldn't have this problem now, would we? Not speaking for you know who, but speaking how society might think. Oh, your wife, man, she cheated on you. She probably hooked up with some Roman soldier or something. You know, there is a myth that says that's what happened. Myth. Somebody trying to explain something supernatural when they can't, because it is supernatural. It is of God. But you see, God would not leave Joseph because he was a just man, because he was a righteous man. He was not going to leave Joseph in this limbo, this I don't know what I'm going to do. God gave him guidance as to what to do. And when he thought on these things, verse 20, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Just like I said last week, where every Jewish mother was waiting to be the mother of the Messiah, Jewish men knew that the Messiah was going to come too. And they, likewise, culturally, not all, obviously, they wanted to be the father of the Messiah because they didn't understand at that time. They didn't understand Isaiah's prophecy the way we do. They had it, but they didn't quite understand it. They thought he was going to be just a regular born person. He was going to be a military commander who was going to bring the people back to God as the prophets of old and then get rid of all the Romans. That's kind of what they were thinking about. You know, and that's not unusual. You know, we men, when we have sons, we want them to grow up and be the best football player, the best baseball, best basketball, best whatever, go out and be a good soldier, be a wall of medals with a man pinned behind it when he comes home, to be a hero, to be a good... We want them to be the tough guy. We want them to be a cross between John Wayne and Albert Einstein. Boy, there's a picture in your head. But that's what we want, and that's what most men want for their sons to be. We want our children, at least as Christians, the number one thing we want them to be is godly. And all that implies faith, obedience, submissiveness, all that. That's what we want them to be. But we do want them to do well, don't we? Of course we do. I've never met a person that says, yeah, I want my son to live in a pup tent under the I-35 bridge. No, we don't hear that, because that's not what a normal parent desires for their children. But here was Joseph, an angel speaking to him and tells him that this that is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, she got pregnant, but not by the normal way. So don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And we do know by verse 25 that at some point after the birth of Jesus, he took her to be a regular wife. He had intimate relations with her. Mary did not stay a virgin. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Brothers and sisters, there were people that will argue me into the dirt that she stayed a virgin, that Joseph was some old dude that already had kids. No. When his family came to get Jesus, it was his brothers and his sister, not Step. He had relations with Mary afterwards. But y'all, let's leave that to the afterwards. Okay? We're in the right now with Joseph and the angels talking to him. And he knows what's right. And he knows he needs to obey the law of Moses. He's just going to do it a little privately. But God says, no, Joseph, that might be legal, but that's not what is happening here. This child is something special. He's something different. He's going to save his people from their sins. What, is he going to be a priest? We're not in the family of Levi. No. You're son of David. This is going to be the child that saves his people from their sins. Now, of course, we know how that story, as one football player used to say, matriculates down the field. We understand how that develops, and we end up at Calvary, and we end up at the empty tomb, and we end up looking into heaven with the rest of the disciples. But for right now, Joseph had to show that he understood that sometimes God's will, which is the ultimate good, will outclass what may be written law. And I could go into example after example of how God's will outdoes our legal law. But I will spare you that for today. And the last thing I want to talk about, this one we had twofold, was his belief in what the angel had told him. Now remember, this is before Jesus was born. Okay? Joseph, when he woke up, it says in verse 24, he took unto him his wife. He loved her. He didn't know her romantically until after all the events that we celebrate as Christmas. But he loved her and he took care of her, which is what a godly man will do. Imagine, he wanted to be obedient to the law of God, but he also didn't want to humiliate. What a predicament. He was faithful. He was obedient. He was a believer. And he would do right according to the law to have Mary stoned, but it was God's will. And God warned Joseph by the angel of the Lord. And Joseph fulfilled his obedience to God first. You see, God is the ultimate law. God is the ultimate authority. He is the one who decides what is right and what is wrong in the eternal magisterial sense. So the Lord warned Joseph to not be afraid to fulfill his faith by obedience, and he did. You see, today many of us who are faced with an apparent, overwhelming, difficult choice would acquiesce to God's will instead of our own. At least that's what we tell ourselves. And if God would tell us what to do, then we would do it. Ah, but that reminds me of something I saw one time. It was a woman and a man talking, and the woman said, "I wish God would tell me what to do." And the man said, "Well, read your Bible." And the woman said, "Well, I want to hear it. I want to hear what God tells me." And he said, "Well, read it out loud." Folks, everything that God would tell us is found in the Word. Now, sometimes He strengthens, He edifies it by dreams and visions. I'm not saying that's not possible, because it tells us that in the latter times, the young men will dream dreams and the old men will have visions. I think it's one of the minor prophets. But we still can receive, what can I say? The main thing is in the Word of God, but the buttress, the thing that holds it up, God may tell us in another way. But it will never, ever go against the Word of God. You're not going to read something, God says to do this, and then you have a dream, it says do something completely different. No, 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 no. What you have from God outside the Bible is going to be what you have from God inside the Bible. Never forget that. Never forget that. Now, Joseph knew what the law called for. He only altered his actions when God's will was made known to him. Could we do that? Could we in our mind be absolutely certain something was right, it's just, it's righteous, I'm going to get my vengeance when this happens? And God says, "No, I want you to do it a different way. I'll take care of it, but I want you to do it my way instead of your way." And instantly, most believers will be transported to a dark garden where Jesus, crying and bleeding from His pores when He sweats sweat and blood, and He says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." I believe God gives believers that verse, that act in our mind, in our will, in our psyche, in our soul, whatever you want to call it, when we try to say, "Well, we're going to do it our way instead of your way, God," and boom, I hope He does it. Because that will bring you back. That will center you on God's will instead of your own will. Now, sometimes what you desire is what God desires. There's nothing wrong with that. If God tells you to do something good, do it. If God tells you to do something different, do it. God will give you, as we said earlier, everything you need to accomplish what He sets you out on. But yet sometimes our desire and God's desire is not the same. Poor old Joseph, before God spoke to him, was faced with this predicament. He knew by the law what was right, but when God spoke, it changed his world. It's one thing for Mary to come up and say, "Honey, I love you, but you got to know I'm pregnant and you ain't going to believe who the daddy is." But for God to tell Joseph himself, a whole nother ballgame. And it puts Joseph on a path to accomplish something that God alone made him responsible for. Out of every man that has ever been created, only Joseph was given the responsibility of taking care of God the Son when he was an infant, as a father, as an earthly father. Like I said, some people say, "Well, God would only if He would only speak to me." Do not say that God does not let us know what His will is. He reveals us this to us through word, prayer, and the Holy Ghost. Don't you think Joseph, when he was thinking on these things, he was praying? He was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was proud of God. What am I going to do? And mercifully, God said, "Here's what you're going to do. You're going to take Mary as your wife. And then at the appropriate time, you're going to name your son Jesus." And then the next dream, he was warned to get out of Dodge, to get out of that area and get to Egypt, because Herod was seeking for the young child's life. But I want to move back to the original text now. That was the first thing I wanted to go over. The ability of Joseph to understand, even though he knew what he knew to be right was right under the law, it was not God's plan. Okay? Let's move on to 13, back in Matthew chapter 2. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. When he got this second word, he got up and he left. It was night. He got out of there as fast as he could. He probably had to saddle the donkey. You know, their hometown was not Bethlehem. He left not only Bethlehem, but he left wherever his hometown, where he had his shop and his tools and everything else. And they left. And they were there for a while until Herod died. And we know that Herod died around 4 B.C. And based on the star and the wise men and all that, Jesus was probably born around between 6 and 4 B.C. sometime in that time frame. You know, you couldn't just hop the Amtrak to go down to Egypt. You couldn't jump on a truck unless it was one of those old Route 66 humping to please camel trucks. You remember those? I'm not that old, am I? Come on. Y'all remember those, don't you? I was going to make a joke about jumping on a camel, but you know, they did. They probably went down either in a camel caravan or on a donkey or whatever, but they got out of Dodge. That was the thing. And Herod blew a cork. And he had those in Bethlehem, male children, 2 years and under, murdered. Innocent children died because Jesus was born. Innocent children died when Moses came. Evil men try to destroy anything they perceive as a threat to their power. You don't believe that? Look at some of the politicians we got on both sides nowadays. They would rather destroy a person than to argue the point. Brothers and sisters, if God tells us to get up and go, we need to get up and go. If God tells us to go speak to that person, we need to go speak to that person. If God says invite this person to church, we need to invite that person to church. If God says take care of this loved one, then you take care of that loved one. You do as God calls you to do, Because he will not, if it's truly God, he will not cause you to do anything that's not in his word. Joseph, after the first angelic visit and the wise men's visit, he was probably more prone to listen to the angel, because remember, he'd already been visited by the angel. And it was one of these, hey, you again, you want a cup of coffee or whatever they drank at that time? No, that's not what happened. The angel gave him the message, get out of here. Leave, up and out. Get that youngin' and your wife to safety. All of this happened. And Mary had had enough strength to travel. Obviously, it wouldn't be that night because she gave birth that night. But it was a little time later. She had enough strength to travel. And that's practical sense that the nativity is later. And Joseph put his fears aside and obeyed the specific instructions he had received. To Egypt! You are to remain until you get word from me. And that's strange because God had told his people never go back to Egypt. Several places in the Old Testament. But you see, this was a little different. This was not going as a people turning to Egypt for horses and chariots and protection and all that. That's what God meant with that. This was a child that would be protected. You know, in my mind's eye sometime, and this is not scriptural, but you know, we read in the garden narratives when they come to get Jesus, he tells one of them, he says, you know, put down your sword. Don't you think I could call legions of angels? I wonder how many legions of angels were protecting the child. Probably quite a few. You know, going down to Egypt, like I said, wasn't an Amtrak ride. They had to go and there were thieves and crooked and all kind of things on the way. God protected them. He did. And then Joseph, he was to remain there until he got word. And we read later that when word came that Herod had died, those seeking the young child's life had died, then he went back. Another thing that Joseph did to show his submissiveness and obedience was he, and we spoke of this earlier, he left Mary alone until after Jesus was born. We already talked about this. And the last one, Joseph put aside his certainties. Now, what do I mean by that? Of course, we know that there are certain things we understand in this life. Joseph had the same outlook. His certainties included the law, the unbelievability that a virgin could get pregnant, the unbelievability that God would speak through an angel to him of all people. And he embraced the newness of what God was doing. The angels, the shepherds, the Eastern astrologers, that weird kid playing the drum solo as we spoke of earlier in the middle of the night. He did all these things. Of course, folks, don't take me serious on the drum solo, okay? Some of y'all looking at me like, what are you saying that for? He put aside all certainties and embraced the truth of what God was telling him to do. Can we do that? It may not be about a child. It may not be about anything that we even can imagine right now. It might be about a job, a school, a family marriage. It could be anything. But are we willing to put aside our self-certainties and follow God's direction? You got that? I'll give you an example. You got that one thing, that one person in your life. That man, you just know, you don't want anything to do with that person. That person is wicked. That person is evil. I don't want nothing to do. He's hurt me. And if I do anything, I'm going to put a rock up against his head if I do anything. That's our certainty. But yet God says, forgive and show mercy. Are we willing to do that? Some of you are. Some of you aren't. But you're going to have to answer to God for all the things that He tells you to do that you didn't do. You'll be rewarded for the things that you did. I'm speaking of believers now. And you will lose reward for those things you didn't. Brothers and sisters, we need to put aside our unbiblical certainties. There are some things we're certain, all right? The love of God, forgiveness from the blood of Jesus Christ, things like that. We're certain that doesn't change because that's based on an eternal truth. But our temporal understandings of relationships and things like that, We need to put aside our certainties of what we like and what we think and embrace what God is telling us, just like Joseph did. He was certain Mary had been messing around on him. She admitted it. She was pregnant. He knew it. And what did the law say? But yet God said, now God does not go back on His law. Mary did not commit adultery. Okay? Let's make that certain. She did not break the law. Therefore, she did not deserve the law. Punishment. Now, if she had broken the law, that's a different story. But she didn't. She was made to carry a child by the Holy Spirit. God authors life. How hard is it if God can wad up a bunch of dirt and dust together and breathe life into it, and there you got Adam? He can speak a word and there's light and there's the universe and there's everything out there. How hard is that to say, okay, you're pregnant? It's not good. Nothing is impossible with God, including changing our hearts to accept the way He sees things instead of the way the world and our flesh sees things. So what am I telling you to do? Follow Him, Jesus. Believe Him. Believe on the Son whom the Father has sent. Repent and believe in this God-man who is Jesus of Nazareth, the one in the Bible and not the man-made fictional one you'll see all over the place. The Jesus of the Bible. That's whom we worship. And we need to put away what our carnal selves believes is right is just, as the law was to Joseph, in the world's eyes. Yeah, the world will tell you, hey, she cheats on you, get rid of her. Hey, she steals money from you, get rid of her. Hey, she embarrasses you, kill her. And ladies, you could say the same thing. That's the way the world thinks. I don't know how many times... How many times I went into homes to deal with someone who was injured because instead of a loving family, all they could do was hate each other. That is not of God. We as Christians are to believe and follow God through Jesus Christ the Lord. We have no alternative. We have no other rule of faith outside of the Holy Scriptures. So we need to listen to what the Lord tells our hearts and our spirits and our minds through His Word, through prayer. Learn what the Word of God says to you. You know, I can read what we read today and somebody else can read today and find something just as good, just as important, just as necessary, but not what I found. You see, that's one of the greatest things about the Holy Spirit. He gives you what God wants you to have. He may give me the ability to get up in front of people and speak. When I first did it, I'm telling you, I've told you this story before, but my knees were knocking up upside here, you know, and the pulpit was shaking and all kind of stuff, and I was scared to death. But now, I could talk to 50, I could talk to 5,000, it wouldn't bother me one bit. You know why? Because I'm not speaking to the people, as it were. I'm speaking what God has asked me to say, or told me to say in the circumstances. Brothers and sisters, if you are called by God to speak, He will give you the words to say. He will give you the lesson to teach. He will give you the plans to achieve a goal. He will give you the wherewithal to achieve that goal. And He will give you the necessary equipment to make sure that happens. You know, there's a lot of people that need certain things in this life. Some people need food. Some people need clothing. Some people little to money for groceries and things. Some people even need big furry hats. You had to be there yesterday to understand that one. But He gives you what you need because you are His child by faith. You are saved by grace through faith. And it's not of yourselves, but you are saved unto the Lord. You become the Lord. You are a child of God. And He will not ever turn His back on His children. Now, there are some times when His children act up and they're going to go off and do something they want to do without consulting Him, and He will allow the consequences of that action to fall upon your head, but He will never ever stop loving you. He will never stop giving you His grace that you need in that moment. Listen to what the Lord tells your spirit. Learn what the Word of God says to you. Allow the grace of God to permeate your heart, and you shall be saved by that same grace through faith. You know, Joseph believed, and God spoke to him. And God assigned him a task. And God allowed him to be a great man in history. A carpenter from a backwoods, redneck village in first century Judea. Actually, it was a little north of Judea. What has God called you to be? At this time, in this place, with the people that He has put you among, there are incredible things that God has called you to do. Even at the advanced age you may find yourself in, even at the young age you may find yourself in, whatever age God has you at, there is a plan that He has given you. How do I find out that plan? Ask Him. You know, some of us husbands, we will want to help, we'll want to do something, but we're at a loss for what to do. And some of you ladies, God bless you, will say things like, "Don't you know what to do?" No! I'm a dude. You got to tell me what to do. But when we've learned, we do it, and we do it with all our hearts and all our spirits, and it gets accomplished. Folks, when God tells you what to do, ask Him. He may tell you beforehand like He did Jonah. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. Jonah didn't ask, "Where do you want me to go?" No, God told him, okay? But then sometimes we're like Joseph. We find ourselves in a position, "God, what do I do?" This is what you do. And it may take prayer. It may take the Word. It may take a little time. I've had a guy tell me that it was 6 or 7 years before God gave him guidance to a question. But when he did it, it was the right time in that moment to accomplish what God had him to do. Brothers and sisters, we need to ask. And then when we ask, we need to believe and obey the answer. Now, sometimes the answer will be no or wait. We get that. You know, there's some things, like when I was 10 years old, and man, we had the Western Auto Catalog, and any of y'all have ever seen there, y'all know they had them go-karts in the back pages, right? Right there by the timing lights. I don't know if they even still have those things. They look like pistols, if y'all know what I'm talking about. But I wanted that go-kart. I wanted it so bad. And, of course, my parents said no, and my grandparents said no. But I thought, oh, God's going to give it to me. God said no. And it wasn't one. You shoot your eye out, kid, if y'all know where you get that from. And it wasn't one of those. It was like where I lived was not a good place to have one of those. People got killed on motorcycles and scooters and things like that. And I didn't know any of this till I was older. But God said no. And then, you know, throughout life, God told me to wait on a lot of things. You know, when I was in my young 20s, I was called to preach. But yet God said, wait. You know, I got really enthusiastic at a revival service we had, and man, I was ready to go, but nothing lined up. God had a life for me to experience so that when I did become a minister, I would relate more to people than just some 19-year-old college kid. We all have been there. And then, of course, there are times when God says yes. And when God says yes, you better be ready, willing, and able to get up and follow Him wherever He leads. And if He leads up Calvary's mountain to the cross, you better go with Him too. I was talking with a lady the other day, and she asked me to show her my ID, and I showed her my ID. And no, I wasn't buying drugs or anything, folks. You know? But she asked, "Oh, what do you do for a living?" I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." And she said, "Where do you pastor?" And I said, "Well, I pastor in Odessa at Calvary Baptist." "Is that that church on the hill?" "Yes, ma'am, that's it." So at least you got one lady that lives in North Kansas City that knows where the church is at. But she says, "Oh, how do you like being a pastor?" And I said, "I wouldn't do anything else." And then I said, "I couldn't do anything else." And she said, "Well, all I know about pastors is the pay ain't much, but the retirement's excellent." Yes, it is. The joke's on her because preachers never retire. Y'all know that, right? Yeah, I might be in a wheelchair, but I'm going to be preaching behind something. Brothers and sisters, all that being said is to tell you that you must act when God tells you to go. When I was called to preach the second time, I had to go. God made it very clear. Very clear to me. When He calls you to do something, whatever that may be ready. Be like Joseph. Get up that night and do whatever is necessary that God has called you to do. God usually has, you know, a little mercy and He'll let you at least sleep until the morning. But if not, I don't know how many times I've heard people, "Well, God woke me up out of a dream and the house was on fire." It was probably very necessary that He get up right then and move. Because we never know when the house is on fire. We never know what circumstances are surrounding. Joseph was scared about what to do with Mary. And God gave him peace, and then God protected him. And He offers the same to us every day. Now, are you close to Him? Do you willingly listen? Brothers and sisters, we need to be like Joseph. We need to listen to what the Lord tells you and be not afraid to step out in that faith, to take on the assignment, to protect that which He puts in your path, like your children and your grandchildren and other things, your spouse. You may end up in Egypt. You might end up in St. Louis. You might end up in Saskatchewan. And believe me, I've been to both St. Louis and Saskatchewan. I'd rather be in Saskatchewan. But wherever you find yourself, if we wait upon the Lord, then He will lead us and He will direct our steps. And we can be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation and a whole lot more. Joseph knew this because he was a just man. He was a good man. He was a godly man. Men, we can be like that. Ladies, you can be like Mary and you can be like Joseph, willing to act on your faith at a moment's notice. This is not a gender-specific sermon. What this is telling about a real man at a real time who had a real problem and he served a real God. And if we act on that, the blessings will come in buckets.